The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Yeah, it is. Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network. Visa.com, the Visa app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in this morning, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin is here as well. Producer number 9, so much more than a producer. Good morning to you, sir.
What's up, man? How we doing?
You made it here, man. You were here like a good 37 seconds was to spare.
30 seconds to spare.
Yeah, man.
Just had to run down and get my coffee.
Yeah.
Wasn't expecting a mosh pit of cleaning people to be in my way, but I stiff-armed my way through.
Yeah. Parlay used to say every few days a week, he'd be like, there was this guy in front of me and I just couldn't get around him.
Oh, you got
the whole thing.
Well, one of the tips of living in Vegas, if you work in casinos like we do, right? You got your football moves from high school go back on display. You got to be able to cut. You got to be able to spin sometimes. You got to give that hard juke left to right to get out of people's way, because everybody walks around here going, oh, look at the pretty lights and look at the restaurant. We should try that.
Got
to
be a good route runner.
You got to be a good route runner. Yeah. I don't blame them. They're on vacation. Take your time, but you got to be able to weave in and out.
Yeah. All right. Good for you. Well done. Listen, we got Drew Dinsick coming up for both of you. Bet the Edge and Deep Dive Podcast. Join us, talk NBA and NFL with us. William Hilliam, VSiN contributor, will join us. We look forward to that all the time. Get his thoughts on these completely non-dramatic baseball awards. Also, his thoughts on college and pro football. And later on the show, Paul Carr will join us to talk World Cup. How about that? Got World Cup fever, Kelly?
You know what? It's building. I'm being serious.
I know you are. What a great, honest answer that was.
It's building, Gil.
It is.
But here's the problem. I know exactly what's going to happen. Is these games are going to start getting played, and either we're working or we got other sports that we're watching, and it's just like it's going to be once every now and then I'm going to catch a game.
I don't know. I think once you get talking to Paul Carr, you'll be pretty excited.
That's where it's definitely
you'll
building.
Change.
You'll just be him like texting me and us getting graphics together for his appearance. The excitement was building.
So we'll talk to Paul Carr for a couple segments later. Not only group-by-group thoughts from Paulie, whether there's a bet or whether there isn't, but also stuff like the Golden Boot, general thoughts, a sort of primer on the World Cup. We'll get into all that. Real quickly, yesterday, not a lot going on. We do have to say Jake Hahn, our hockey guy, who was 5-0 last week. We have to say when he had a bad day, he was 1-5 yesterday in his plays. So Jake didn't follow that up, let's put it that way. So there's that.
That felt somehow obvious after a 5-0 first appearance.
It was the hat. He was wearing the hat. Shouldn't have worn the hat. Third of the six iterations of the college football rankings. No change at the top like we thought there would not be. Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan, TCU, your top four, with Tennessee, LSU, USC, the de facto Pac-12 team that they'll prop up at this point, their last remaining hope at number 7, and then Bama at 8. Pete Futak and I are still arguing about it. By the way, did you enjoy that exchange between me and Futak yesterday?
It was very entertaining.
If he could have Ohio State and Alabama in one semi, and then in the other semi, Alabama versus Ohio State, he would totally do that. He would totally be for that. Matthew Stafford, still in the league's concussion protocol in the NFL. Head coach Sean McVay will not confirm whether Stafford has a concussion, saying that it hasn't been communicated to him since Stafford entered the protocol last week. So there's that in case you're thinking about a bet in the New Orleans Rams game.
I mean, that's interesting wording, right?
Hasn't been communicated to me.
Like, he's in the concussion protocol, and we're going on week 2 now, right? And we don't know for sure. The head coach doesn't know for sure whether or not he's actually suffered a concussion.
I said this yesterday or the day before. I still picture Kelly Stafford and Matt Stafford, like Kelly just being really angry about this still and just being like, Matt, we don't need to play anymore ever again. We have all the money in the world. We won our Super Bowl. We're beloved in two cities. We don't need to hit concussions.
I mean, both these
teams shouldn't have left you in the game.
Both these teams are gross right now, but man, we missed the boat on that Saints. If you could have laid Saints 2.5 on the opener or 3, I think that would have been a good bet this week.
Well, I'm going to get to Survivor here in a second. We'll see if you want to risk it all on them. And by the way, speaking of baseball awards, managers of the year yesterday were announced. New York Mets, Buck Showalter named National League Manager of the Year. The Mets having themselves a 100-win season. They did not win their division, as we famously know here on this show. Didn't advance very far in the postseason either. And by very far, I mean not at all. But he gets it's a regular season award, so they get the National League Manager of the Year, becoming just the third person to take the prize 4 times and the first to do it with four different franchises. So good on
Buck. Yeah, that's pretty dang impressive.
Pretty impressive. And then Tito Francona won it for the Guardians, his third time winning it, all with the Guardians, if I'm not mistaken. Never won it with the Red Sox. All three with the Guardians.
Really?
Yeah, which I found a little fascinating detail. So there's that. But we have to talk about Survivor. I haven't talked about Survivor at all this week. We don't usually get to Wednesday without even mentioning it. And we'll do it through the prism of Circus Survivor. I understand that not everybody is in Circus Survivor, but it's nice as a sort of by proxy thing to talk about. Circus started with 6,133 entries, $1,000 a pop. I'll do the math for you, Kelly. That's $6,133,000 United States dollars. Yeah, it's pretty good. So as you may or may not know, the first 7 weeks of this was Meshuggah. It went from 6,133 to 125.
That's crazy.
Literally 1.6% left in the entire pool of entries. Now, the couple weeks after that, it sort of, the regression happened, right? Two got knocked out in week eight, eight more in week number nine. So it went from 125 to 115. This past week actually returned to sort of standard Survivor attrition normalcy, where 25.22% got knocked out. 29 out of 115, the remaining 115 got knocked out. So now we're down to 86 out of 6,133. Do you know what the current intrinsic value of those 86, of each of those 86 is, Kelly Bidlin?
No, I have no idea.
Boop, 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 boop. $71,313.95.
Man.
That's what each of them is worth right now. Oh, man. Now, remember, the quirk of Circa, and this might not be the case in your Survivor pool. Your Survivor might have to do double entries. There's all kinds of quirks to little Survivor pools. But the quirk in Circa is Thanksgiving Day is its own week, the three games of Thanksgiving. And then the 24th and the 25th comprise a Christmas standalone, quote-unquote, week, if you will. So essentially, there are 20 weeks, in quotes, to get through, not just your standard 18. So Thanksgiving has always been the biggest consideration of Circa. No one knows if it'll really get to Christmas at this point. So if we look to say, okay, of the remaining 86 people or entries, some people have more than one, but of the remaining 86 entries, what are your options this week? What would you be willing to risk it all on? So the first thing is, let's just start with the Bills. Out of the remaining 86, 71 entries have the Bills left. I would assume, we did assume this with our buddy Bob DeLuca at Crush 'em Sports, and we were wrong to assume. I would assume at this point that all 71 of these are saving it for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, sure feels like when you compare the numbers, right, Bills and some of these other teams, sure feels like a lot of people have this strategy in mind to save them for Thanksgiving.
Which would be the standard strategy.
Makes sense.
So you're not going to use them here versus Cleveland as 8-point favorites. You'll wait till at Detroit on Thanksgiving Day, 4 days after that.
And make sure if you're doing anything with that game this week, make sure you're watching the weather over the next few days.
Make sure you're watching the weather in Buffalo.
Might be all-time snow levels.
I do wonder, like somebody out of that 71 is going to use them. Because are we really going to go into Thanksgiving Day and 71 out of 80, whatever it's going to be left, are going to be on the Bills?
Are going to be on the Bills, yeah.
Somebody's going to use them this week. Somebody will. I'll put that at 3.5 over.
That's one of those, like, is it too contrarian, though?
Right? It might be.
You know what I mean?
For sure it might be. And you've
like,
saved
I think
them.
You need to think about it at least. But
you've saved them this long. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd have the stones to do that. Let me put it that way.
Let me skip to the Ravens. 27 of the remaining 86 have the Ravens. To me, this is the obvious choice. Because of all the choices, and by the way, we've listed everything above a 4-point favorite. So we didn't include New Orleans, who we just mentioned playing the Rams. I don't know if you have the stones to play New Orleans.
Especially with, like, Survivor on the line, Jameis coming back in probably.
How many synonyms?
What a way to go out.
How many synonyms are we going to use in this segment? Stones, onions. So I think the Ravens are the call. The Ravens are 12-point favorites at home against the Panthers because the Ravens, of all of the favorites above 4 points this week, they're the one that there is no obvious place to use them again better than this one. So for those remaining 27 people, I'm thinking all 27 or close to that number are going to be on the Ravens.
Yeah, I would.
It's a gots to play them situation. Three people have the Eagles left, but do you want the Eagles on a short turnaround on the road, even against the Colts, as 6.5 points, as 6.5 point favorites? Only three have the Eagles. Or do you say to yourself, hey, look, I know it's only me and two other people with the three, with the Eagles left. Why don't I just play them here and hope for chaos around me?
I don't hate it.
I don't hate it either, because there's only three.
I think you're getting home fine in that game.
Bengals are 4.5 point favorites at Pittsburgh. They're only 4.5 point favorites. You do have a home game against Cleveland later, but that will be with Deshaun Watson. I would assume the 16 remaining people that have the Bengals are playing for the bonus, maybe? Remember, the other circuit quirk is if you keep the Bengals and the Rams, the two Super Bowl teams from last year, you're eligible for a $1 million bonus at the end. I believe Derek Stevens should step in and say, if you use the Rams, I'll give you a $3 million bonus. I'm sure Derek loves when I make promises with his money. That's how that should go. But only 16 people are eligible for the bonus at this point. That's how much we know about that, with only 16 remaining on the Bengals.
Regardless, I don't think I'm using them this week anyways.
And then there's the Chiefs and the Niners. Chiefs are 6.5 point favorites at the Chargers. The Niners are 8 point favorites at the Cardinals. But here's the thing. The Sunday after Thanksgiving, there are so many opportunities. The Chiefs are at home against the Rams. The Niners are at home against the Saints. And oh, by the way, the Dolphins, who 65 people have left, 65 entries have left out of 86, they host the Texans. So this is not a gauntlet like it was last year. The Sunday after Thanksgiving has plenty of options. So maybe you don't use the Chiefs and the Niners. Of course, it'll depend on who you have left and who you don't. But the Ravens, for those 27, the obvious choice. Coming back with Drew Dinsick next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Just download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account. And start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada, whatever your sport, whatever your betting style. You're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Skill Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is a sports pick magic. He says, pretty excited for mobile betting to be legalized in Maryland.
Saw that today.
Just in time to blow all my money on World Cup in-game betting.
There you go.
That's the spirit. Good old Maryland.
Yeah,
finally
good
got
for
in
you
game.
Marylanders out there.
Hey, I got a lot of buddies. Marylanders. No one calls them that, but yeah, that's what
you
would say.
That's actually a really cool name, Marylanders.
Or as we used to say, Maryland. They're pumped because they would have to drive to casinos. Now they got mobile betting. Good on them.
Never leave your couch again.
Bet safely. Phil Weiss, typical Buck Showalter. Wins another Manager of the Year, but fails in the playoffs. This is from my.02, my.02, talking about you just making it here in time for the show with your excellent pass patterns and lateral movement cutting to get here into the studio. He says, casino employee here. Yes, walk rage is real.
Yes, it is. Walk rage. I've never heard that term before. Thank you. It is absolutely. You gotta cut, move, get out of the way of people. They walk real slow here.
Listen to this one. Razor Rosenthal. He says, I'm taking the Saints in Survivor. He's one of 26 remaining entries in a 2050 entry pool. I get it, man. The Rams stink. But boy,
ride or die with Jameis. I love it. I'm just assuming it's Jameis. I don't think we have an official announcement on that.
Let me just put this in. But yeah, we don't have an official announcement. Dennis Allen's still deciding, I think. Let me just put this in because I want Drew to riff on this. But again, these are the remaining entries left of the remaining 86 that have these six teams. These are the teams that are north of 4 point favorites. Saints are 4 point favorites against the Rams. Bills are the Thanksgiving consideration. Ravens the obvious choice because there's no other place to use them. But let me get down to the Chiefs and the Niners because we sort of ran into a wall on that. The Chiefs and the Niners, road division games for those who care about such things this weekend, even though they are among the biggest favorites this week.
Bengals too.
But remember with the Chiefs and Niners specifically, the Sunday right after Thanksgiving, so a week from this Sunday, really, really easy, at least on paper, right? You know how that goes, because we all lose Survivor the same way, in shock and awe, crashing at a game we should never lose. But the Chiefs are going to be home against the Rams. The Niners are going to be home against the Saints. And oh, by the way, 65 of the remaining 86 in a bit of an upset. By the way, 65 of the remaining 86 still have the Dolphins, who host the Texans. So all of that, we can't really dive further because we don't know who has what left. But if those 27 on the Ravens ought to be the play for those 27. Drew Dinsick joins us for the Deep Dive and Bet the Edge podcast. Bet the Edge over there at NBC Sports. Deep Dive with his buddy Andy Molitor. You can follow him on Twitter at @whale_capper. How you doing, Drew?
I'm well. How are you guys?
Very well. You're wearing a mustard today, are you? Would you call that a mustard?
Sure. It's a little burnt orange. Yeah, little burnt orange, a little mustardy. Yeah. They got a little morning light, you know, with the sun, you know, the time change and everything. It's a nice morning here.
You do not participate in any Survivors? You were not in Circus Survivor?
I was not in Circus Survivor. But if I had been, I think I would have been eliminated week one because I think I would have taken the Colts, who tied with the Texans. So
yeah.
I'm pretty sure, actually, we talked about that on your Megapod. That was my pick. So I was theoretically out right out of the gate. But Survivor, extremely, extremely tough this year.
It's a minefield. I said it just moments ago. We all lose the same way, right? Like everybody who loses says, oh my God, I was so set up perfectly after this. No one's more of a genius than anybody else. It's just a complete minefield. And when you lose, you just think that it's, you know, the world has fallen on you, but somebody's going to get through here or some group is going to get through.
It's complete shock and devastation when you lose. And you think, oh, only me. Only me.
But shout out
to... And then it happens the next week to someone else.
Yeah. And by the way, it could happen to you theoretically right after that, too, where you're like, oh, thank God I lost twice now. Shout out to Derek Stevens. Shout out to Mike Palm, Matt Metcalf, Jeffrey Benson, everybody who arranged Survivor over there at Circa, because it's just tremendous fun. As far as week number 11 in the National Football League, what do you like? What have you bet so far?
I haven't bet anything in the NFL.
Nothing. Not
nothing
a thing.
I missed the boat on the Buffalo Blizzard total. That's crashed all the way to 42.5 at some spots. If I had a gut read, I think that probably goes lower. It sounds like as days get closer to that kickoff, the forecast gets bleaker and bleaker, unless you really, really love snow, in which case you are just delighted by what they're saying about the potential lake effect snow in Buffalo. So that's the one that I missed out on, and I'm kind of kicking myself the most significantly. Other than that, basically, I'm almost on market across the board here with half point edges here and there that I need just to kind of get a little bit better read on some of the injury situations, some of the quarterbacking situations. I got nipped in the bud pretty aggressively last week because I really just didn't have a good feel or a good read on who was even going to be starting quarterbacks for about half the teams in the league.
Who did? No one did. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what's weird? It's week 10. that shouldn't be where we are, but it is what it is, especially in a year that we're not even, it's not even like surprise COVID absences were part of the problem. It was just literally half the teams are, shuffling at the most important position on the field. So it was a bad week 10 for me, overall. Although your commies came through for me big time in that Monday Night Football game. And I guess really like that's kind of where you really need to start kind of thinking about NFL between here and the end of the season. I will remind people there are 17 games, 18 weeks, and we have, we are just barely past the halfway point of the season here. So there is a lot of football left to be played. And, the way people kind of talk about the futures market, the way people look at the landscape overall, there's a lot of sort of fait accompli already kind of built into people's expectations here when we are not even really that far past the halfway point. And I think if anything, if you've learned nothing from this season so far, it is that the NFL is flatter than ever. We are really and truly, there is not a lot of a gap between team 3 and team 27. Market's still power ranking a team like the Giants is 24th. So, I think realistically, seeing the Philly come back to earth after an 8-0 start wouldn't surprise me whatsoever. And seeing some team that has been completely written off fight their way into a wild card wouldn't surprise me at this point.
So let's get to that. So as you look at that, then the flat earth theory here, where's the bet? Where do you think a bet is?
Yeah.
Is it a Washington yes to make the playoffs? Is it a AFC East bet that's not the Bills? Where is it?
The Washington is the most interesting one. And I tried hard to talk a couple of people who were real smart into backing the Commies at 60-1 to win the NFC East yesterday.
Oh, no.
Was not successful.
Yeah.
I got talked off the ledge there.
No, you went too far with the division. Yeah.
But the thing is, there's still a lot of divisional games to be played. So it is it's wide open. I think the bets to be made are largely in some of the awards pools because, there's certainty in some of these awards that I think is just, it's not how you start. It's how you finish for all of these things. I've been trying to defend my Nick Sirianni coach of the year position for like 3 weeks, trying to figure out basically who can come up and steal that one. Now Jeff Saturday's in the mix. If he takes that Colts team to the playoffs, is he all of a sudden like the favorite for coach of the year? I think as I stand back, I think it is realistic to expect whoever gets the one seed in the NFC, because it's going to be a surprise, right? That's going to be your surprise. Whoever gets that, because it's not going to be the Bucks, it's not going to be the Packers, it's not going to be the Rams. Those are your three preseason expectations of who is going to get the one in the NFC. Since it's not going to be those teams, the surprise will be whoever gets that. And so whichever coach kind of secures that, I think ultimately gets your coach of the year. And I think the Eagles are pretty vulnerable. So I think that's the fun place to attack right now.
By the way, the Jeff Saturday thing, can I just slow that down for a second? Because here's the thing. This is the first thing I said on Guessing Lines on Monday. I was like, let me get this straight. Frank Reich was not permitted to use Matt Ryan as his starting quarterback. Yeah. You must go with the rookie. Then as soon as he left, right, and as soon as the new guy came in, you're like, go ahead. We don't care if we take a massive salary cap hit when he fails his physical if he's hurt next year, but take him. And he's supposed to win coach of the year because he got to use different tools than the other guy? Stop it. Somebody's got to think that, right?
As someone who was personally financially impacted to the negative by that decision,
me too.
I was annoyed. Yes. I was very annoyed. I was like, you don't get to have a press conference on Tuesday, confirm that Ellinger is your starter, and then change your mind on Sunday. That's not how this works.
Nope.
But ultimately, like, it was the right decision. Like, you're a new coach, you're a first time coach, you have a new play caller. Like, who are you going to go with? A guy that has started two career games or a guy that has 10 years of plus years of experience? Like, it was the right call, but it was phenomenally annoying.
Phenomenally annoying. Observably stupid, I believe, is what Dave Chappelle would call it. We'll come back, because I think there might be another award thought in there from Drew, if I'm gleaning. I want to ask him if the Bills total fell too far, in his opinion, and some basketball thoughts, his picks today. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
College basketball started. Now's the time to get your copy of our annual betting guide at over 400 pages. It's our biggest betting guide ever with odds, trends, power ratings, and analysis on every team. Our team of experts includes Greg Hoops Peterson, Matt Eumanns, Jonathan Von Tobel, Wes Reynolds. They provide their predictions for win totals, futures, conference champions, tournament teams, and breakdown of all 60 coaching changes since last season. And the only way to get the guide, though, is to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Keep that in mind. Sign up now for just $99 to get VSiN Pro access to everything we do all the way through the Super Bowl. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. I think Matty Cox hit his college basketball pick yesterday, did he not?
I believe he did.
And by the way, there seems to be some controversy about Jake Hahn's record yesterday. He did go... He went 0-3 on the... He had the 5-0 last week. Then he went 0-3 on the sides and 0-1 on the total yesterday. But remember, he had the two props, and we said that he split them.
I thought he did. I looked at the stats quick.
Yeah, well, Pat Moran says one of his picks yesterday was Jason Robertson over 3.5 shots on goal. DraftKings counted that as a loss, but NHL.com and ESPN gave him 4 shots on goal. Did that change overnight?
Oh,
please,
boy.
Have Jake on again. He's great.
Stat corrections. I mean, they do happen. I mean, yeah. Drew knows as well. I mean, it happens sometimes in the NBA. I don't know how much it happens in the NHL.
Well, remember, we've had a shots on goal conversation with Jason. We don't want to, spend a minute on it even.
Oh,
but
God,
here's the thing with shots on goal that we learned from Jake in the NHL, which is if the shot hits the post, it is not a shot on goal because it hit the post.
Correct.
But if the shot is murky or nebulous or maybe it was, maybe it wasn't, it can be counted as a shot on goal even if it's wide of the goal.
Well, and the biggest one is if the goalie makes a save on it. So if it's wide of the goal and the goalie makes a save on it, it's a shot on goal.
It's called a shot on goal. So it's like completely a ridiculous stat, ultimately.
It really is.
And we're betting on it.
So, yeah, he went 1-1 or 2-0 on the props.
Yes.
Not sure.
We don't know. Drew Dinsick is here. Drew has never gave us a shot on goal bet in his life on this show.
No, so never.
Should point that out.
It sounds ripe for exploitation, though.
Yeah. Right. Well, or just being completely annoying. So,
well, I got to ask you because Kelly brought it up. I mean, assists. If you're betting the assist market, you better have a read on how the home team bias, just for the score, home scorer bias for assists was massive if you were ever playing that market. So I'm sure shots on goal is similar.
Yeah, well, assist, the biscuit's got to go in the basket though, right? So it's like.
Rebounds, excuse me.
Okay, I was gonna say
rebounds. My bad. Right. Yeah, no, ultimately, who gets credit for the rebound was always kind of a funny one with the Russell Westbrook getting patted in OKC in his monumental season.
I see. Okay. Yeah. So you talked about Coach of the Year and how you think the ultimate number one seed in the NFC has sort of an inside track. What about MVP? What is your view on that right now?
Yeah, whoever gets the one seed in the AFC. I think overall, I don't know how these teams ultimately sort each other out, but I think 4, 5, maybe 6 of the best teams in the NFL are all in the AFC, and so getting that once coveted one seed and being perceived as the best team, particularly if you can create a little bit of separation between yourself and the field, I think that absolutely kind of locks that award for you, which means guys like Lamar Jackson, Tua, even Joe Burrow potentially alive in that market if they can run down the Chiefs here. The Chiefs need to slip up though, I completely agree with the market that Allen should have fallen from the top there and Mahomes should be the clear favorite. They need to continue to play as well as they have the last handful of weeks against kind of inferior competition, to put it politely, if they're going to secure that one seed. Right now I only make them 42% chance to get the one seed, the Chiefs, that is. So I don't think I could bet Mahomes at +125.
By the way, do you have AFC East percentages? Who's going to win the AFC East? Like, I'm curious what Buffalo's percentage is. Scott, I'm guessing it's still high.
Yeah, I have them just under 50% to win the AFC East.
Not as high as I thought. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, they have some serious questions about the health and particularly the defensive side of the ball. The fact that they have a head-to-head loss already with Miami is concerning. I mean, they have a beneficial schedule down the home stretch relative to Miami, which is huge. But New England and the Jets kind of being even in the picture is mostly what's hurting Buffalo's AFC East number, for me at least.
Last thing in football, and it has to do with the Bills. We talked briefly about the total of this game with snow expected in Buffalo against the Browns, the Bills-Browns game. But the snow is really expected Friday and Saturday. By Sunday, it should have cleared. So did the market overreact on this total, in your opinion?
I mean, it's entirely possible. I think
what's the number where you would go over? Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I think 40.
Oh, really?
I think there's still a realistic chance that this continues to go down. I mean, particularly, they're calling for like 6 feet right now. And whether it stops in time for the game or not may not even be the issue. There's still going to be wind. And you could have, just in general, just a weird situation in terms of, place to play. Can they get the field completely cleaned off? Is it good footing? There are still a lot of questions swirling. I'm kind of happy I'm not involved in that one because I think actually looking back at my performance this season and really the last 2 years, I'm about 0-21 betting on totals when I think I have an edge because of the weather. So I'm going to take that out of my betting repertoire entirely and just let the people who are better at weather handle those.
Yeah. 20 mile per hour winds expected. At least that's when you look at the extended forecast right now. Well, and 20 matters. We think, at least Drew can tell you, at least with his record, it hasn't mattered this year, but but in theory it matters. All right, let's go to the NBA. Remind us now, your NBA season turned to the good, I believe, last time we talked to you. How's it going?
It's been very rocky. Every time I have a little bit of a pick up a little bit of momentum, I give it all back. It's been a really, really tough start to the season for me overall. I like it very streaky too, like winning 4 or 5 in a row, losing 4 or 5 in a row. Very tough to pin down exactly what's going wrong with my numbers here. Because usually I'm very not streaky in the NBA. Like overall, I'm usually like a 3-2, 3-2, the 2-3 kind of a performance over the balance of the season. So I'm not sure what's going on. The volatility between, you know, just in terms of market ratings has been pretty, pretty violent so far this season. So yeah, there's still a lot to sort out. I think a ton of these teams are treating this first quarter of the season largely like a extended preseason.
I was going to say, what's your theory? Is it lineups? Is that what it is?
Yeah. And also, but even still, like sometimes you can get way ahead of, you know, surprise injury news and doesn't matter. There's a lot of CLV that has been, you know, keeping me and my family warm, you know, in the fireplace so far this season. And tonight might be a good example. Like, you know, right now it looks not great for Denver in terms of warm bodies. the most important player on the floor in Jokic is out. You know, Bones Highland may not go. You know, we're looking at a questionable tag right here on Aaron Gordon. And I, you know, this is an absolutely dreadful spot for the Knicks. And that's the reason the Nuggets are still favored, even though all those players aren't available here. If the Knicks come out with their lineup and they're going full strength and this falls to like a pick 'em, I'm going to get involved with the Nuggets. Otherwise I played a couple of, underdog money line plays for some road teams. The Pacers have been an absolute, maybe kind of the only team that has really been cashing for me at a consistent clip. I like them on the money line against the Charlotte Hornets. I do not agree with the market that, you know, the return of Ball warrants this much respect for this Hornets team that's still missing Hayward and Cody Martin. But I think Pacers ought to be small favorite in that game. So I took them plus money on the money line. And similarly, I think the Chicago Bulls ought to be favored. Pelicans just in an absolutely dreadful spot. Bulls relatively healthy here. So this is, you know, it's been an interesting season for the Bulls. They've really only lost when they've had a huge, you know, rest disadvantage, and now they finally have a couple of advantage spots here. So I think the Bulls get it done. Played them on the money line, and I laid the points with the Washington Wizards. Finally getting back to full strength here. Only player missing for them tonight is going to be DeLon Wright. Oklahoma City Thunder, on the other hand, you know, that's been sort of a rotating cast of who's participating. Still really do not love the fit between SGA and Giddy when they're on the floor together. And I don't think they've figured out exactly how they want to deploy those two players the most effectively. So even if this is the Wizards kind of, you know, in a dogfight late, we saw the Thunder absolutely pull the rug on their players against the Celtics to kind of ensure a loss. So the tank may be on to a degree with OKC. It's just kind of keeping a careful eye on that. But I think the Wizards are being a little disrespected by the market right now. They have them as about the 22nd best team in the NBA, and I'm closer to about league average. So I'll take some whiz in this one.
I was going to say, do they feel playoff-y to you or play-inny to you?
Play-inny. Yeah. Very much play-inny. Yeah. The bottom of the East is pretty bad.
Yeah. And they're perfectly mediocre thus far this year. So
yeah,
they got that going for them. Drew Densing, everybody, at @whale_capper. Deep Dive, Bet the Edge podcast, wherever podcasts are available. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
Hey, best luck to you guys. Enjoy the week.
Drew, dude, getting it done. NFL. Not so much NFL this week, but at least long-term awards and the NBA tonight with his plays. Kelly's got an NBA play on the other side. Teaser time as well. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Make some midweek magic with Light the Lamp Wednesdays at BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Place a $25 wager on any NHL player to score a goal on Wednesday, and you'll automatically receive $2 in free bets for every goal scored in the game, up to $16. Just log into your account or download the app and sign up with BetMGM to get started. Then opt in to the Light the Lamp Wednesdays promotion, that's tonight, to receive a $2 free bet for every goal scored in the game, regardless of your prop bet's outcome. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager, new and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly, and if you have a gambling problem, problem as always. Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, or New York. Kelly, you get your Taylor Swift tickets? Huh? Huh?
No.
Didn't happen for you?
No.
A lot of angry people.
Wait, what do you mean? What happened?
Apparently, like, there's just the demand.
Isn't there some battle I saw with whoever the ticket seller is or whatever?
It's the whole thing.
I remember seeing a John Oliver piece on that like 9 months or a year ago or something about how just the ticket brokering business right now is such a scam.
Yeah. Pre-sale demand causing online chaos. Let's put it that way.
Would you just read the lower third on the news?
Maybe. Maybe.
Voters in Georgia.
Maybe I did. Maybe I didn't, but maybe I did. All right, you have a basketball pick tonight.
Yeah, I do. I got one player prop. There's a couple games I am looking at, but it's going to be – there's a lot of injuries up in the air, like Drew was talking about. That Wizards game, I do have my eye on as well on the Wizards side of it. Probably end up laying the 4.5 on that game. Other ones that I am considering are the Raptors. I think it's a tough spot. Miami going into Toronto tonight, but got to keep an eye on injury report for that game. Fred Van Vliet questionable. Gary Trent Jr. still questionable on the Toronto side. Tyler Hero out tonight, did not travel with the Heat, so that's a big negative, obviously, for Miami. Those are two games and sides that I've got my eye on. One prop bet I did make already, though, Clint Capella over 22.5 points and rebounds. Playing the Boston Celtics here tonight in Atlanta. Boston, obviously, no Robert Williams down low, have been struggling a little bit, with inside scoring and on the boards. And Clint Capella just gets every rebound for this team. 25% of defensive rebounds for the Atlanta Hawks while he's on the floor go his way. 17% of offensive rebounds. He's hit this number in three straight games over, getting more involved offensively here. So that's why I included the points. And if you're feeling frisky, I might have done a 14-plus rebounds on a Capella as well at a plus 210. So those are my two I got locked in so far. A couple others, though, I will be looking at later. I think there's also maybe a play on Kevin Love over points and rebounds tonight, too, with Jared Allen looking out tonight for the Cavs against the Bucks.
Go, Kevin Love. Sixth man it up, man.
Let's do it. 150-1. You're in on that, too, right?
Oh, hell yeah. Yes, I am. But what was that Clint Capella stat we used to throw around, like when he and Harden played together? Didn't they have like some ridiculous record in Houston? Was that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was them. And then, I mean, like the Trae Young alley-oop to him is just ridiculous.
Okay, so it occurs to us that we were just talking about MVP. We were just talking about Coach of the Year. Listen, we talk about these because these markets exist and it makes for pretty interesting conversation. But from a betting standpoint, and we say this as much as we can, and it's always worth a reminder for new bettors or for newish bettors, and maybe just a reminder for even seasoned bettors, always not only shop around from market to market, but within the same book, you might be able to find a different market that by proxy is really a better bet. What do I mean by that? Let's take, for instance, Kelly. Let's start with MVP, right? Let's use the Kansas City Chiefs, and let's explain what we mean by that.
Yeah, so we're just looking at these, and I think, I mean, look, the first thing you got to decide is whether you believe in what Drew's talking about with his theory of how these awards are going to go. I actually tend to agree with him. I heard him talking about this yesterday. I think it's a good call. I think Coach of the Year, I think almost especially Coach of the Year, is going to go to whoever finishes with that one seed in the NFC, because right now it looks like it's a team that just never you were expecting to be there.
Well, see, I would say more for MVP.
Think more for MVP?
Yeah, okay. Because MVP to me is, if you're the number one seed, I guess I'll put it this way. With Coach of the Year, there's the matter of expectations included as well.
Yes.
Where there isn't with MVP, right? So whether it was, you know, I guess you could say Jalen Hurts, the Eagles had less expectation than the Bills and the Chiefs, sure, but that's just different degrees of good expectations. With Coach of the Year, if it's Daboll, if it's Saleh, if it's Pete Carroll, like those teams were not expected to do well, nearly this well. I mean, even close to as good as they're doing. So I don't know that you have to be the number one seed for that.
Okay, that's interesting. I think we look at that a little differently.
Yeah.
Because I agree with you, but I almost think that makes it more like, yes, were people high on the Vikings and Eagles preseason? Sure, I was. Like, I had division bets on both those teams. But they weren't the favorites. You know, they weren't the favorites in the NFC. They were three down or whatever, right? The Eagles and Cowboys were basically co-favorites to win that division. So I think if you get to the one seed and you weren't, you know, really expected to be there, I think that helps them even more.
If the Vikings get the number one seed and say go 13-4, and the Seahawks win the NFC East at, say, 11-6, who's your coach of the year?
See, that's not fair to ask me, man. I got an O'Connell ticket. I want to scream O'Connell, but there's going to be a lot of Pete Carroll love.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm saying. I guess what I'm saying is you might be right in the end. You might very well be right in the end that to get the number one seed will get you, but I'm just saying it's more of a gray area to me.
So the coach of the year one, so I think he's the only one, though, that could maybe screw that up.
Daboll?
I don't think Daboll's getting it unless the Giants get the one seed.
Really?
Yeah.
If they won the NFC East, which I don't think they will, by the way, but right, let's just say they did.
Because most likely if they don't win the one seed, it's Sirianni or O'Connell that's getting the one seed, right? So I think it's going to go to one of them.
Let's say it's O'Connell. Again, same thing. O'Connell, Vikings, 13-4. Giants somehow win the NFC East, 11-6. You don't think Daboll's going to get love?
No, I think he'll get love, but I think O'Connell still wins.
But no one thought the Giants would be anywhere near that good.
No, I hear you.
That's what makes it interesting.
It's dicey. And, yeah. And hey, we're about to launch into.
Let's get into the point.
We're about to launch into. You have to believe in those theories, yes. Right? So one of the examples that Drew was bringing up was, you know, MVP, and he thinks the MVP winner is going to be that one seed in the AFC. Tend to agree with him there, too. Now, there are books, like DraftKings has a market for number one seed, odds to be the number one seed in each conference. At the top in the AFC are the Chiefs at plus 110. So if you look at MVP odds, right, you're seeing plus 125 on Patrick Mahomes. Obviously, that's a better bet than the Chiefs at plus 110. Now, if we take a different example, though, let's say you want to bet Tua in the MVP, right? Because you think it's, okay, you still believe in this theory. The Dolphins, they finished one seed. Tua's winning MVP. Well, skip the 5-1 on MVP and bet Dolphins plus 650 to finish in the one seed.
That's the point of this. That's the point of this. That even within the same shop, different markets are going to give you better bang for your buck. Unless you thought that someone else on the Dolphins could win MVP, which maybe you do think Tyreek Hill could win MVP. We'll get to him later, an offensive player of the year. But you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
That there is no one's going to really suggest anybody else on the Chiefs or Bills is going to win an MVP besides those two guys, Mahomes and Allen.
The one I started thinking about this yesterday. I don't think I'm going to dive in with a bet, but Lamar Jackson at 12-1, he's still alive.
Still alive.
He is still live in this conversation.
We don't talk about him, but
about it enough, but he is still live in this MVP race.
Yeah.
And again, I think if I told you the Ravens end up stealing the one seed, it's probably because Lamar Jackson had a huge end of the season and he's winning this MVP.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not going to be like, wow, that Mark Andrews really led him to the promised land. So, by the way, that's going to be our pro tip of the hour. Do you want to do the pro tip right here
before we do it?
It's your pro tip of the hour. That should be it. Remember to shop prices even within the same shop. If you believe in some awards, will go to number one seeds, compare prices of the award market and the odds to finish as the number one seed. It's your VSiN pro tip of the hour. Searchable on VSiN.com. 20 every day. Pro tips, though, remember, for VSiN pro tip, for VSiN subscribers only, though, keep that in mind at VSiN.com, where you can sort them by sport and by show. So that's the story.
It's just, there's so many, like, with all these shops, especially if you're, you know what's funny, Gil, is even like a year ago, 2 years ago, we would say, if you're on the East Coast, it's not the East Coast, right? Because you're Colorado, it's Arizona, it's whatever, right? But if you're in these states, unlike us, that you have DraftKings, you have access to BetMGM, you have access to these massive menus, it just becomes more and more important as they continue to add stuff to shop around within the same book. If, you know, there's usually different ways to kind of bet the same thing.
And we've all been there. Anybody who tells you they haven't is lying or they haven't done this long enough, where we've put in a bet, we've already made the bet, and then we just sort of meander around a sports book, right, app, and we're like, oh, I could have just bet that.
I should have bet that instead.
Oh, I'm so stupid. So we've all been there. Don't feel bad about it. Just keep that in mind before you make the bet. You'll be better off in the long term. We will do teasers. I know we got to get to those. We'll mention those. And Will Hill joins us on the other side. Among other things, Will has a theory about a big NBA star, specifically on the Brooklyn Nets, that should be traded. Question is it the guy you just thought of when I said that? Maybe not. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.